Title for web version, The 5 Things to Look Out For in the EU This Fall. Welcome to Wider Europe, RFERL's new newsletter focusing on the key issues concerning the European Union, NATO, and other institutions and their relationships with the Western Balkans and Europe's eastern neighbourhoods. I'm RFERL Europe editor Rika Joswiak, and this week I'm drilling down on 5 things to look out for in Brussels this autumn. The briefing. 5 things to watch for when the EU reconvenes for autumn. The European Union is on the beach for most of August, and there are no European Parliament plenary sessions, council meetings, or committee gatherings. In short, nothing much is discussed, let alone decided on, during these weeks. But as soon as the diplomats and officials are back in their offices in September, there are potential tough decisions to be taken and dilemmas to face this autumn. RFERL takes a look at 5 things to watch for in the upcoming months. Will Russia's assets be unfrozen? Over 200 billion euros worth of frozen Russian assets has been held by the European Union since the bloc started enacting sanctions on Moscow in February 2022 for the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Ever since, debate has raged about what to do with the cash. EU foreign ministers gather in Denmark on August 29th to 30th for an informal gathering known as Gymnich, which often serves as the opening act of the EU autumn. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas has made it clear that this is the time to decide the asset's fate. It offers the bloc a potent bargaining chip for the future, but it also serves up some legal dilemmas. Many EU member states, notably hawkish eastern ones, want to seize the cash to pay for either weapons heading to Ukraine or rearm the bloc. The thinking is this could cover the potential American shortfall in spending on Ukraine, and that it's fairer for Russian money to be used for this rather than European taxpayers footing the bill. Others, however, notably bigger member states, aren't keen to seize the cash just yet. They argue the money is Europe's ticket to peace or ceasefire negotiations, as Moscow is angling to get some of the cash back. Others point out it could be used to leverage the Kremlin to cooperate with the new war tribunal, HTTPS, just www.rferl.org, Likvashush, their crimes of aggression tribunal Ukraine Russia, EU Foreign Ministers 33406245 HTML. They also say the assets should be kept frozen to pay for Ukraine's reconstruction once the fighting ends. There are fears in the European Central Bank, ECB, about what a seizure of sovereign assets would do to the euro as a world currency. Would it scare off countries from investing in the eurozone? Belgium, home of the central securities depository Euroclear, which holds most of the Russian cash, is also wary of unilateral action. The argument from the Belgians is that the frozen assets are a golden goose, as the windfall profits from them, totaling 1 to 2 billion euros each quarter, go directly to Kiev's coffers. Will Moldova and Ukraine be decoupled? So far, Ukraine and Moldova have travelled the path toward EU membership together. They were both granted candidate status in 2022, and in late 2023, EU member states agreed that accession talks with the pair should commence. Most European diplomats fully expected the first of the 33 accession chapters would have been opened with both Chisinau and Kyiv in the first half of this year, but Hungary is blocking the start of these negotiations due to what Budapest sees as a lack of rights for the Hungarian-speaking minority in Ukraine. As Moldova and Ukraine are coupled so far, this blockage affects Chisinau as well. This spring, there were talks about decoupling the two countries so that at least Moldova could move ahead, but no consensus could be found. Hungary has indicated it won't budge on this issue, notably after a non-binding referendum earlier this year in which 95% of respondents opposed Ukraine joining the bloc. Most EU officials now believe this stance won't change until Hungarian parliamentary elections in April 2026. Meanwhile, Moldova holds an election on September 28th with the pro-EU government gunning for re-election. There are rumours in Brussels that Ukraine and its supporters have accepted a decoupling in which Moldova advances alone for the time being. This decision could come in early September to potentially tip the balance in favour of pro-EU forces in the Moldovan election. What will the EU do about Georgia? Brussels will continue to grapple with Georgia's backsliding this autumn, and some decisions might actually reflect that. The European Commission sent out a letter, https www.rferl.org, a Georgia Visa Risk EU Budget Enlargement 33482 HTML to the Georgian government in July, asking it to comply by the end of August with 8 benchmarks set out in late 2024, including the need to repeal the controversial foreign agent law and the equally contested legislative package on family values and protection of minors. Few in Brussels expect Tbilisi to move much on either of these issues, and so the question remains, how will the EU will respond, and when? There have been no sanctions on ruling Georgian Dream officials or judges seen as responsible for targeting the opposition and demonstrators because Hungary and Slovakia have blocked them, and they're expected to do so again. Work is underway in Brussels to potentially suspend Georgia's visa liberalisation with the bloc. For this one only needs a qualified majority of EU member states on board, 55% of member states representing 65% of the total EU population, and this qualified majority seems to be in place. It would be the first time the EU has suspended visa liberalisation with an EU candidate country, but Brussels is clearly drawing up the necessary legal framework. We may also see the bloc suspend parts of the EU-Georgia Association Agreement, including its free trade aspects. The question, though, is the timing. EU foreign ministers don't officially meet in council format until late October, potentially giving Tbilisi more time to respond. By then, Georgia will also have held local elections, on October 4th, in yet another indicator of where the South Caucasus Republic is heading. Entry-exit rollout. After many delays, on October 12th, the EU's entry-exit system, EES, will finally be rolled out. This is significant for all non-EU nationals travelling into the 24 EU countries taking part, all the member states apart from Cyprus and Ireland, with Denmark potentially opting into the system later, and four non-EU countries, Norway, Iceland, Switzerland and Liechtenstein. The EES does away with the manual stamping of passports and is meant to give way to an elaborate IT system at every international airport, harbour and land crossing that records entries, exits, fingerprints and facial images. The rollout will be gradual over the next 6 months. EU member states that are home to large international travel hubs fear a collapse if there was a big bang introduction all at once. For a long time, the EES's IT system wasn't believed to be technically sound, but EU officials are now confident everything's in working order. If the EES rollout is complete in the first quarter of 2026, one can also assume the ETIS, the European Travel and Authorization System, will be launched later that year as the two systems are linked. ETIS is the EU equivalent of the United States Electronic System for Travel Authorization, ESTIA, and will have a major impact on travellers coming to the EU visa-free. An estimated 1.4 billion people, including citizens of Britain, Georgia, Moldova, Ukraine, the United States, and the non-EU Western Balkan states, will need this authorization before entering the bloc for the first time. Valid for 3 years, it will cost €7. Is the V4 back with a vengeance? There aren't too many elections in Europe this autumn, which is something of a rarity. Moldova holds a crucial vote in September, as talked about above, and there's a snap election in the Netherlands in late October in which the populist right-wing PVV might finish on top, but it's likely to see a surging centre-left Green coalition form a government instead. Perhaps the most interesting vote will be in the Czech Republic on October 3rd to 4th. All polls indicate that the populist Andrej Babiš will return to power. The main issue to watch is whether his ANO party will govern alone, with the support of even more radical forces to the left and right on the political spectrum, or if any parties in the current pro-European government coalition will lend him support. That will in turn determine what type of Czech Republic shows up on the European scene. Slovakia's Robert Fico and Hungary's Viktor Orban would most likely welcome a like-minded partner in Prague, as the populist Karol Narocki was recently sworn in as president in Poland with the expectation of blocking legislation of the more liberal Premier Donald Tusk. Rumours are swirling in Warsaw that his government might collapse and pave the way for a return of the Conservative Law and Justice Party. Emerging from all of this is a pretty like-minded Visegrad 4, V4, once again. The bloc of the four Central European countries played a big role in shaping EU policies for many years, but due to recent political differences, V4 was largely a dormant concept. Now it could be one to watch again. There are still differences, of course, not at least when it comes to relations with Russia, and Warsaw is still something of an outlier as Tusk is expected to soldier on. But if Babiš re-emerges with a clear popular mandate this autumn, there will be three Central European capitals with a clear sceptic attitude toward both Brussels and Kyiv. This might, of course, change again when Hungary votes in a much-anticipated parliamentary election in spring 2026, but at a crucial moment in Europe, the Visegrad countries could prove a source of many a curveball to come. Looking ahead, all the eyes will turn to the meeting between the US President Donald Trump and his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin in Alaska on August 15th. No European leaders are invited to attend, but they are having a call together with the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte and Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky 2 days prior to the American-Russian summit. Several European officials are worried about the outcome, notably with the Kremlin pushing for several Ukrainian territories as a condition for a future peace deal. Read more about the EU position on the issue here. https://www.referl.org/EU leaders, preparing statement supporting Ukraine territorial integrity, 335076 at MEL. Feel free to reach out to me on X at Rickard Joswiak or on email at joswiakr@referl.org. I will be on summer holidays for the next couple of weeks, so the next edition of the newsletter will come on September 9th. Until next time, Rickard Joswiak. If you enjoyed this briefing and don't want to miss the next edition, subscribe here.